Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be talking about a man I know all of you have heard about, Mark Twain. He has become, he's been, even when he was alive, he was a phenomenal man that was creating history with his writing and the way he lived his life, the people he knew. He was just such a dynamic character, and it seemed like once he passed away, this character, this persona, just kept growing and growing and expanding and expanding, and plays have been done about him. It's just absolutely wonderful. He's just such a refreshing personality in my mind. Well, I have with me Deborah Prosser, the wife of Lee Prosser, and the two of them together had put together this wonderful book on Mark Twain, Strange and Wonderful. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, I know your husband passed away last July, and you and your daughter were able to pull everything together for this book because it was to go into printing. Now, I want to talk about your husband a little bit because he had been involved in writing so many years. What caused him to fall in love with Mark Twain?
I think that comes from childhood on up. The adventures, Mark Twain took through his books and through his travels, it just amazes anybody if you read them. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. Now, with your husband, because of his interest in Mark Twain, was this a project that he started a lot of years ago, or was it something that he just finally decided that he was going to get into?
Oh, no. He's always wanted to do a book on Mark Twain. He's just fascinated by Mark Twain. He was just, there is still something about the man, Mark Twain, that just captivates everybody,
I do. Now, there is a wonderful, wonderful photo of Mark Twain that is on the front of the book and also on the very first page. In fact, you and your husband put together a number of photos, historical photos of this amazing man throughout the book.
Yes.
Now, when you were getting these photos together, did you go to museums? Were you able to just copy them out of books? How did you get so many of these amazing photos? There's one that you have right at the beginning, and you call it a vintage photo, of Mark Twain on a steamboat.
Right. Yeah, that one Lee took from a book that we had here, one of Mark Twain's books. And fortunately, it came out so good when we printed it, basically, he got photos from everyone. The picture on page 11 of Mark Twain was a gift given to Lee by an English artist.
Terence Kelly. And interestingly enough, he got this drawing in 2010.
Right.
So it's almost as if everything was just flowing for your husband so that this material could be, you might say, his wonderful piece of information and art about a man that had meant so much to him since he was a child.
Yes. Had a lot of influence on him in so many ways. And we did get some of the pictures from up around Hannibal from a friend of ours, Dina Budd. She was nice enough to do that for us since things came up and we couldn't travel that direction for the time we needed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very grateful to her for helping with the pictures, too.
Well, I found it really interesting when I was going through the book, how your husband managed to pull out certain things. Mark Twain's life was a life that brought him into contact with slavery and so many other components. Of course, he was on the river boats. He absolutely loved them.
Yes.
And that had been a very significant part of his life. However, there is a comment that Mark Twain wrote in a notebook of his in 1904. Now, we have to remember, he was born in the 1800s, and
right.
The Industrial Revolution was coming in, so he was in a time frame where technology for that time was moving very, very rapidly, and yet
yes.
He had known what we'd call the quieter time of life, a more easygoing time of life, yet it was very difficult for many. And a man that influenced Mark Twain was the man Tom Wheel, who wrote The Mississippi River.
Yes.
And that was something that impressed him so much that he made a note in his notebook, "The skin of every human being contains a slave."
Yes.
It shows that even when Mark Twain was quite young, he was really observing and absorbing
right.
so much of what was going on around him.
He was a very wise man, way before his time and thoughts and everything.
Now,
because,
go ahead.
I just feel like he, even people today, many people, do not accept different colors of skin or different religions or things like that, And Mark Twain, he just fell into it, and it just seemed to be, well, that's okay for you, And mine's okay for me, so no problems.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just think that, personally, if more people were like that, there'd be less problems. But
well,
Mark Twain just
seemed
to have that gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he was so curious about so many things. This is a man that had a knack for writing stories, but he wrote about real life. He wrote about life as he saw it.
Exactly.
And this was something, and he was born on November 30th, 1835, as Samuel Langhorne Clemens in Florida, Missouri.
Yes.
And I think that his comments that he would make to people, and he seemed to have a knack even when he was young. He had a very strong intuitive sense. He had a lot of what we'd call psychic phenomena occur in his life. He was very intuitive about people. He could read them pretty well. And as he became older, he became even, I call him, more slick with his words. Because by the time he'd say something and you had to think about what he said, he'd be on his way into something else. He couldn't get
exactly.
He was very, very clever. But he had a letter that he sent to William Steed, and it was written in 1899, and this is what he wrote. "Peace by compulsion, that seems a better idea than the other. Peace by persuasion has a pleasant sound, but I think we should not be able to work it. We should have to tame the human race first, and history seems to show that that cannot be done." See, I think of those words, and I think of what we're watching on the news right now, people being slaughtered and massacred in Syria, all kinds of things, and I go, my goodness, how many times have we had wars and things that have gone on over and over and over again?
It's like mankind can't learn.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like every generation has to be able to learn from history if they can, and let's see if we can get past some of this stuff, because it doesn't seem like you said, that taming the human race just doesn't seem to be an easy job. Now, let's go into the paranormal with him, because he liked to play in cemeteries when he was a kid. And I think a lot of kids did that. But
I did.
I didn't, but you did? Oh,
yes.
My goodness. Where were you raised?
Oh, everywhere. My dad was a Marine.
Oh, my goodness. And you
guys
played in cemeteries?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
But there was one close around,
Oh, my. Now, let's talk about his psychic gift, because this is something that you and your husband wrote about.
Yes.
And this is, he just was really in tune with this. What was the first thing that you and your husband discovered in your research about him where this had a special significance?
In his writings, like, you know, when he was a child playing in the graveyard. And some of them are very short stories, but they're just like he was sitting in the graveyard talking to a dead person, you know,
mm-hmm.
a spirit. So, and it's just, it's mind-blowing. I mean, it's like things that I did that people was always saying, no, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he did it way before anyone, and he basically made it public in some of his writings, some of his letters to friends, and in some of his short stories.
Well, I know that the situation regarding his brother, I think he saw his brother's demise, and that always disturbed him. That seemed to haunt him, because he was shown that he was not going to survive.
Right.
And these things really saddened him, because he was very close to his brother, and to see that kind of information, well, it was, it really, really was something that was very, very hard on him. But he always, always was intrigued by the unknown. So even though it
right.
had affected him so strongly, he didn't shut himself off from it. So many times, people, when they have various intuitive experiences, they will shut themselves off from it because they are afraid. What they don't understand, they say this has to be bad, and that's not the case at all.
No, not at all.
Well, I love the photos that you've got in the book. You have a riverboat, a picture of a riverboat sailing at night along the Mississippi River.
Yes, isn't that
river,
beautiful?
And there is this, oh, that's gorgeous, the moon above the riverboat.
Yes.
Looks like something out of a Hollywood movie. it's just gorgeous.
Yes.
And
you know, being
these,
there,
mm-hmm.
that would just, your mind would just reel with stories and events that you could just imagine happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm sure that opened up, you know, Mark Twain, to so many of his stories.
Oh,
and there
absolutely.
Were several of his stories that were not published while he was alive because he felt that they were a little too risque.
For his time, I can imagine.
I bet so.
I can imagine. So he just tucked them away and said, well, sometime in the future, maybe. It's
right.
amazing. You think of what he thought of as risque, and it's like peanut butter and jelly. In the
I know.
It's nothing. I mean, it's nothing. But he loved romance, too.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely loved romance. And that is something that played a huge part of his in his life. And Livy,
yes.
tell us what you discovered about Livy, because this was the woman of his heart, his soul. It just, she just was the epitome of everything that he valued in life.
Right, she was. And, what can I say? They raised their kids at home. They schooled them at home. She would read over his books like an editor before mm-hmm. they would go out to be edited, really, so she could give comments to him. Oh, my gosh. She was just everything, and she did everything. It's like she lived to help her husband to become greater.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that she could do, she would do for him.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep their children with their minds open as they grew, instead of, like, closing them off to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that's excellent parents.
Well, I think that when she died, and of course you mentioned this in the book, he lived for only 6 years after she passed.
Yes.
And when she died, it was just devastating to him. Now, of course, they had children that passed away, but as long as they had each other, they were okay. I mean, not that the children's lives weren't valued by them, but they really were like one spirit, almost.
Yeah, they were, I guess, what you could call true soulmates.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They were that close.
I have to chuckle, though, because you've got a quote from him. He says, "I have never taken any exercise except sleeping and resting, and I never intend to take any." Now, they say that he was a pretty heavy drinker, and I wasn't aware of that. Was that more after his wife died? I know he loves cigars, but...
Yeah. Well, he drank and he did his cigars and all, even before she died. But mm-hmm. that became worse after she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And his health declined, well, I would think pretty rapidly after she passed, because, you know, there was just 6 years in there.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he had what he felt like was his grandchildren, the young ladies that he, you know, helped with writing and stuff from the schools, he just, without Lily there, you know, Livy mm-hmm. there, he just, I mean, there's such an empty space, you know. And there's really no way to describe it, but it, you know, I'm not sure how to explain it. It's like how I felt when I found Lee gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a space that is still rather empty, but, you know, he comes and he visits me, and we just go on as if he's actually here at times.
It's fascinating that you say that, because I know Olga Worrell, who was a great healer and a tremendous psychic. She and her husband had worked together for years, and that's what she would say. She would say she'd see him and there'd be conversation, and what a gift that is.
Yes.
What a gift that is.
Oh, it is. It's so comforting, too.
Yes, it is.
You know.
Very much so. Now, Livy, his wife, was quite well educated, which was not common for women
right.
in the 1800s. That was not encouraged at all. Yet
no, it
she
wasn't.
Was well educated.
Yes, she was. Her family, her entire family was quite educated and believed in women knowing and learning and, you know. So in that way, she could pass it on through her children, which she taught at home. And I feel like, you know, sometimes homeschooling is the best schooling. That way you yourself can see what level your children are at and how they're doing and where you need to expand or, you know. And I just, she was good. She was the best thing for him because, like I said, she edited his papers, his stories, even before they went out to be edited.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes somebody with a good, strong mind and that is good with words to do editing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To pick up on those little places that aren't quite right.
With Mark Twain, there's some things about him. I didn't realize he was 5'8" tall, and that was a little bit on the tall side. Not
yeah.
really average, but a little bit on the tall side for his generation.
Yes, it
and
was.
He had vivid red hair, although the photographs I've seen always have him with his white hair. Of course, he's much older.
Right.
But he
I
was
think...
very slender. He was muscular. And I didn't know that he was colorblind.
I did not know that until we started into the research either.
Quite an interesting batch of information that you have here. Also, I was unaware that he knew Helen Keller.
Oh, yes. He admired her very much for overcoming her problems, her disabilities. He had a great admiration for her. And also Tesla. He knew Tesla, and he was really into his science, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He thought Tesla was the way to go as far as, you know, the science of things and all, and reusable energy without, you know, digging up the ground and all this stuff.
Isn't it interesting that Tesla was so far ahead in his perceptions, not that
right.
everything that he came up was perfect, but his thinking and how... At the time that he and Mark Twain came together, again, it was in that cycle of the industrialization
right.
of a nation, a world that set a precedent
right.
around the world. And for him to have such phenomenal associations like Helen Keller, also the President
Grant.
Yes, President Grant. I had no idea that he had been a part of writing Grant's memoirs.
Yeah, well, that was fascinating for me to find, because I had not known that.
So he had such a tremendous array of people whose path he crossed and who had a great deal of regard and respect for him
right.
as well. And you, when you think of this, and you think of the various things that went on in his lifespan, it was, and it wasn't an extremely long one,
no.
but it was power-packed. It really was packed
it was.
With all kinds of experiences, especially with his travel.
Yeah. These travel books are some of the best books that he's written. I mean, except for Huckleberry Finn and, you know, Tom Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two, of course, will always be at the head of his list of books that are the best. But he had a way with wording things. When he would travel and he would see things or learn things, he had a way that he, with words that he could just, you almost see what he saw.
Yes. Yes, that's very, very true. And it's a beautiful photograph that you have in here. We were just talking about Nikola Tesla and
yes.
how Mark Twain is holding an item, and there is this ball of energy there.
Yeah.
This is, I've never seen this before. Who took this photograph?
We found it online.
Oh, interesting.
Because we did not really know that he had, you know, really anything in common with Tesla or anything like that until we started doing some in-depth checking.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that him and Tesla were, like, really good friends. And Tesla asked him to join in checking out, you know, some of his trials and errors. But I just think that is fascinating that you have such a close friendship with somebody that, you know, science-wise, that...
Mm-hmm. Well, I like his quote when he said, "Never put off till tomorrow what may be done day after tomorrow just as well."
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the manana attitude.
Yeah.
You know, manana, the song manana.
Yeah.
Put it off, put it off, put it off. But that sort of has the same kind of flavor like The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. He really wrote about the people that he knew.
Right.
And I was appalled when I heard about someone complaining in the library that these stories should not be allowed because
yes.
the word Negro is used in other words. And my goodness, this is history. This is the
I know
way the
it.
World
you
was.
Can't
rewrite
history.
It.
You
well,
know?
You shouldn't. People try to do it all the time. But
yeah,
I thought
do.
How ridiculous that is. This is a time.
Right.
This is an era. There's nothing
and this
wrong
is
with.
How it was then.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when we try to make it other than what it was, then how are we going to appreciate where we are? We can't.
Right, exactly. You can't.
Now, I noticed in your book also that you have a number of pictures of first editions. How many? There aren't many first editions around, and you've got one here, 1876, a vintage first edition cover of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, we did a lot of looking for that. He'd go online and search for hours for things, and he'd find them and find some of them at rather low prices, you know. And we even found one book of his, The Adam and Eve Diaries. That
uh-huh.
is one hilarious book. He really knew the differences between man and woman in that book. You know,
mm-hmm.
the way they think, the way they talk, and the way they think they are helping each other but aren't, you know.
It sounds something like men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Exactly.
But it was done a long time ago. Yes,
yeah.
there's Pudd'nhead Wilson, which is about mistaken identity and race, and I had never heard of Pudd'nhead Wilson, so that is something I'm going to have to read on, but The Prince and the Pauper. Oh, that
yeah.
is just an incredible story. And
yes,
movies have been made about
yeah.
Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, The Prince and the Pauper, and
yeah,
then
Connecticut
also,
Yankee. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Connecticut Yankee. Oh, that one. Who was it played that? Bing Crosby? Was that
Bing
Crosby
that
played in the Connecticut Yankee?
I believe it was.
I think they've made two versions of it, but there's an old one. And it, I don't know if it was Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. I don't know. Maybe one of my listeners knows. But I believe Bing Crosby was the Yankee.
I believe you're right.
But I don't remember any of
it. It's been so long since I've seen it, you know.
Now, Joan of Arc,
yes.
He wrote a story about her,
yes.
And he dedicated that story to his wife, Libby.
Yes.
And it was one of his favorites. Now, you've got so many points of information in here. One of the things that you mentioned right at the beginning of our chat is that there were a lot of short stories that really didn't get published, and you've got them listed in here.
Yeah. Some of the short stories that have been published already, we have them listed. Now, in University of California, they have his autobiography, and it was not to be printed until 100 years after his death.
Really?
And it's going to be a series of books. I don't know how many books yet, but it's going to come out as a series.
Amazing. I didn't know that. Okay, so when are they planning to have this come out? Because this must be really extensive if it's a series.
You know, I don't know for sure. We were just happy to find the information that it was being, you know, finally copied and put out there.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I know we are just about out of time, but before we close out, I want to read a couple of his quotes. One of them is, "Religion consists in a set of things which the average man thinks he believes and wishes he was certain of." And then, "By this time you will have noticed that the human being's heaven has been thought out and constructed upon an absolutely definitive plan, and that this plan is that it shall contain in labored detail each and every imaginable thing that is repulsive to a man, and not a single thing that he likes."
Oh my goodness!
He just really had a good sense of humor. "In the first place, God made idiots. This was for practice. Then He made school boards."
See, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he has an attitude. "Sanity and happiness are an impossible combination." And let's see, he said, there's just so many wonderful
things. I know.
He just has just such wonderful things. And he said, "When a man loves cats," which he did dearly, he said, "I am his friend and comrade without further introduction."
Yes.
"And man is the only animal that blushes or needs to."
Yes.
And there's much, much more. You have so many of the quotes that he is known for. Then there's a bibliography in the book. I just think that this was a wonderful accomplishment on the part of your husband and yourself, as well as your daughter, because I know after your husband passed, you had to bring all of this together. Now, is there a website that you and your husband, Lee, put together, Deborah?
No, actually we didn't, but he had a website affiliated with ghostvillage.com.
Okay.
And he had a monthly article on that one called Bide Once Time.
Mm-hmm.
And since he's passed, I've taken it over and, you know, trying to build my writing skills as good as his, but he had a way with words, too, that, you know, He could make a paragraph or a short paragraph or even one sentence say so much about one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, Lee was just usually a very quiet man with his own thoughts and everything. But when he said something, it was just like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, Deborah, I'm so glad that we were able to have you on the air. The book, Mark Twain, Strange and Wonderful. I love the cover, number one. It is put out by Schiffer Publishing, and I'm sure it's available on Amazon.com.
And yes, it
though
is.
It's not an individual website, you could go to ghostvillage.com to find out more about Lee Prosser's work. Deborah's taking over his column. And also to find the book, Mark Twain, Strange and Wonderful, check out Schiffer Publishing, and that's S-C-H-I-F-F-E-R Publishing, and you'll get more information. But this is a great book. This is something that if you had a kid in school that wanted to know more about Mark Twain, quotes, et cetera, this is
and that's why he wrote it this way, was for kids in schools to really be beginning to get interested in it, you know, so it wouldn't be like an all-adult book, you know, because he could have gone that way with it, with all the information we were finding, but he wanted it for the young children, too.
Well, Deborah, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much. For those of you listening, Mark Twain, Strange and Wonderful. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
It's time to get your glow on. March 2nd through 4th at the Northwest Women's Show, a show that's all about you. 400 exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, over 60 seminars, and best of all, shopping. New this year are special theme days with prizes. On Fitness Friday, wear your tennis shoes. Then stay for Girls Night Out from 5 till 8, packed with wild and crazy fun. The Fashion Police will be there on Stylin' Saturday. And let your glow shine on Spirit Sunday. Meet actress and author Linda Evans, Dave from Dave's Killer Bread and his rockin' band, and Hollywood numerologist Glynis McCants, plus fashion shows from JCPenney, favorite authors Anne and Leslie Rule, and back for all 3 days, Seattle's hottest firefighters. Northwest Women's Show, sponsored by Safeway, BECU, Constant Contact, and Como TV. At CenturyLink Event Center, March 2nd through 4th, the Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Learn more at nwwomenshow.com.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. When I get material, and I've got a review desk right now that's got about 65 books on it that I'm reviewing for upcoming shows, I really am amazed at the diversity of interests that people have and how much people will rely on various points of information from the past. And one of the books that I have coming up next month is going to be about Atlantis and researchers that found documents and all kinds of things that are just amazing to read about. And so frequently we do not realize how important it is to study history. And the reason it's important to study history, and there's so many levels of it, and I'm so grateful for those people who have the time to go in and compile information and put it together, even though they may have their own biases, those people that are willing to do the research and are willing to go forward and publish it really bring a gift to us. And that's why books are so special. Because many times there are people that have private collections of maps, books, all kinds of items, And we're able to dip back in the time when someone is able to research about things that have gone on. So many times there are paradigms of thought to go out that are totally wrong. Look at how much we're finding out today about the fact that Columbus was not the person that discovered, quote-unquote, America. He's not the person. We have celebrated the holiday for how many years now? I don't remember, but it's not true. What we're discovering is that not only Columbus wasn't the first, but there were people, the Vikings, the Norsemen, that had come to this country. We are now finding out that there's even more that went on. The Chinese had circumnavigated the globe long before people in Europe had an opportunity to even begin to think about doing that. Their thought was everything was flat for a long, long time. So when we start digging and we start finding these things, and one of the reasons we're able to do it today is because of technology and because we're able to utilize resources. Think of the woman that I was just chatting with and how they found, she and her husband found, photographed points of information about Mark Twain on the Internet. People bringing stuff up on the Internet. Now, there's an advantage to that in some respects, but you're still going to have to check your resources to the best of your capability. And that is something that I am finding so many people really are experiencing challenges, and so they're going into old libraries. They're discovering old books, old documents, maps, other things that have been archived. And, you know, this isn't new in history. If you know anything about history, the library in Alexandria, when Cleopatra was taken over by the Roman armies, that was burned to the ground, and that had hundreds, if not thousands, of years of documentation, of information that people from around the world would come in to utilize to study. There's so much that we assume that we know, and the truth is, we don't know as much as we like to think. And I think we're living in a very exciting time because archaeologists, one, we've got more than we've ever had before in known history, but they're out looking in places that nobody had ever dared look at before. So if you're feeling down in the mouth, if you look at all the world events and we think that everything is just totally deteriorating, understand there's a lot more going on than what you realize. So don't be afraid to look at history. Don't be afraid to study history. If you have some favorite items, favorite aspects of time that you'd like to check out, use your library. Make it an adventure. Try to look at or read something about history at least once every couple of months. Your world will expand in an amazing way. Why? Because it makes you realize there's a lot of stuff going on simultaneously that maybe you don't even have a clue about, and it will broaden your perspective of life and what goes on in it. Just fascinating stuff. Speaking of some interesting information I wanted to share with you, oh, by the way, if you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008. Animals, to me, are absolutely amazing. And I was totally unaware that the chimpanzee that was used in the movies of Tarzan, gee whiz, normally they only live about 50 years now. That's quite a long period of time. Chimpanzees in captivity, not necessarily in the wild, but in captivity can live that long. I did not know that cheetah, who was featured in the old Tarzan movies with Lex Barker, those were done in the 40s and the 50s. In 2006, he celebrated his 74th birthday. I don't know if he's still alive, but that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, here's some information about cheetah. He was 4 foot tall. He weighed 150 pounds. And he was discovered on an animal scouting trip to Liberia, Africa, by a Hollywood animal trainer named Tony Gentry in 1932. Now, of course, he's been retired from the movies for a long time. In fact, his last role was with a very famous actor, Rex Harrison, in the movie Dr. Doolittle. And that's an awesome movie. That movie was made in 1966. 7. I saw it, I think, for the first time about 5 years ago. It is incredibly well done, just delightful. So he was at the Cheetah Primate Foundation, and Cheetah played the piano. He also painted. You know, some of his paintings are hung in the National Gallery in London. Amazing, amazing stories. Now, when he was younger, Maureen O'Hara, who was very, very beautiful and very well known as an actress, and Johnny Weissmuller, they were paired as a team in the early Tarzan movies. And I've got some pictures in front of me that are just amazing. But I'll tell you what, it just shows you that sometimes the truth is a little bit stranger than fiction. So if ever you see an old Tarzan movie with the chimpanzee Cheetah, well, he lived to be quite an old chimp. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 627-6008. Now, I want to let you know, if you're in the Washington area, I am going to be tomorrow evening speaking at the East-West Bookshop in Seattle at 7 p.m. I'll be doing a Power Mind presentation, $15 admission, and I will also be doing some mind demonstrations. And then next week, the super big event is coming up. That's the Pacific Northwest Women's Show, and that's on March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Hard to believe it's just a little bit of time away. I'm going to be presenting at the Northwest Women's Show a forum on Friday the 2nd from 1 p.m. until 4. I will be featuring 5 very significant and talented people from the Pacific Northwest. And then on the 4th, the Sunday of the show, I'm going to be speaking on Spirit Talk at 11:30. Now, the first talk, the forum, is going to be at the Girl Talk stage, and then the talk on Sunday is going to be at the speakers stage. And there's more events coming up. So if you want information, just go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you'll have some information right there on the front page that you can look at. Well, we're going to take a break in just a little bit. Before we go to that, I do want to share a bit of a story with you. And it is, well, it's a little bit strange, but not so strange, because you might have already heard about it. Maybe when you were in school, you heard the story of El Dorado. Mm-hmm. Well, the story really begins about El Dorado in the 1500s. There was a young adventurer, Ambrosius Delfiniger. Now, he became the governor of Venezuela. Now, Ambrosius decided he wanted to find out about gold. There were stories that were just abounding in the area. So he got together with 180 men, and they started their hunting for a city of gold that was hidden in the Andes. Its name? El Dorado. Now, he had learned that there was a group of people in a particular village. They worshipped the sun. He had found out that their buildings were plated, and they would gild their chief, their leader, with gold. And in the mountains, there was a lake, and it was filled with gold. Well, the first expedition gave him information. The second one, he died from a poison arrow, and most of his men were killed. After that, there have been hundreds, literally thousands, of fortune hunters that went out to see if this story was really true. Well, it ended up disastrous. It just was really, really bad. But that doesn't make people give up. Mm-mm, not at all. In 1536, Gonzalo Jimenez de Quesada and his army decided they were going to invade a mountaintop Hunza village. Now, the reason they invaded, they found out that even though the houses were constructed of wood or wicker, there were huge golden plates there. The chief's place was covered with beaten gold, and his throne was gold and endowed with an abundance of brilliant emeralds. The villagers had cloth bags that were filled with emeralds and gold dust. Men had gold rings in their ears and noses and on their arms. However, Quesada did not believe that he had found El Dorado, and he continued to search for this paradise in a salt lake. Now, El Dorado is interpreted as the golden place, actually meant the gilded one. Tribesmen would smear resin on a new leader, and then they'd blow gold dust all over his body. He then would be carried by a raft to the center of a sacred lake, and it was called a Guatavita. And they would offer offerings to their god, and then they would put their gold and jewels into the water before diving in and with the chief, and then the chief rinsed off all the gold that had been put all of his body. Now, El Dorado was considered a legend until 1969. Two farm workers discovered in a cave an exquisitely wrought golden model of a raft carrying eight tiny oarsmen and their golden chief. Now, at this time, this mysterious lake, it's still there, but the water is so cold and nobody's ever gone down to see what's in the bottom. I would imagine it's filled with silt. Little bit of a story of gold. Real? Unreal? Who knows? This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Are you looking for work? Are you interested in perhaps finding a part-time job that could add a few dollars in your wallet? Well, I was having a chat with someone when I was on my trip to Los Angeles, and this is a person that had done a lot of event coordinating. And I encouraged her to check with hotels and this type of thing because she's a natural for it. She's got a lot of background. For some reason, she hadn't considered doing that. Well, she went online, found a positioning in Craigslist. She was thrilled. She called me yesterday. She said, I want you to know your suggestions really helped me out because I hadn't considered certain modalities of working environment. And she's going for an interview. She said they really liked her on the phone. They liked her presence because she's very much into good customer service. And who knows? She may have a new job. But she said it opened up her thinking. Well, here are a few. These are four different items that you might want to consider. You might want to be a mystery shopper. And this is something you can get paid up to $100 a visit to shop, eat, or maybe try salon services or do other kinds of things. And you, just report on your experiences. Now, there's a lot of different groups, but one is called volition.com/mystery.html, and that's volition.com/mystery.html. Also, being a pool worker. Now, by the way, mystery shoppers, like I said, it's up to $100 per visit. But a pool worker, you can, well, if you're over 18 and a registered voter, you could earn anywhere from $80 to $300 to work on election day, plus another $20 to $60 while you're being trained as a poll worker, which involves helping folks find the right line and checking IDs. Now, what you need to do to find out about this, you need to contact your county supervisor of election, which you can find online, or you can check in the phone book and go in and find out. They will put you on a list, and they're always interested in having people volunteer. Food sample representative. If you have a passion for cooking, you really enjoy food, you can earn $8 to $15 an hour passing out food samples and doing in-store cooking demos at local supermarkets. Yes, we've all encountered those happy, cheerful people that are cutting up pizzas or cookies or whatever it is so that we can sample the food products. Why is that so significant? Well, if you like what you taste, you're going to go and buy it because you're going to say, wow, I want to take that home. I want my family to know about this. It's one of the best ways. Mrs. Fields, that's how she started, was passing out cookie samples. That was the beginning of her business. So if you want to check it out, you can go to a listing for brand ambassadors at Advantage Sales and Marketing. That's ASMNET.com. You can also check out event specialists at crossmark.jobs, crossmark.jobs. Or just walk into your local market or box store and say, gee whiz, do you need anybody to be a demonstrator for products, et cetera? I'm really interested in that. You could put some extra money in your pocket. Also, if you're a focus group member, this is something that, well, you might get paid anywhere from $10 to $250 for trying a product or service and giving your opinion about it. So you can do this via email, or you may be asked to be in person to participate. And this is where you go. You go to findfocusgroups.com, findfocusgroups.com. Also, I mentioned the young lady I talked with. Well, if you're interested in assisting with events like something that might be in your own town, a theater, concert hall, stadiums, universities, even catering firms, hire part-time employees for about $8 to $15 an hour to do tasks that may be anything from collecting tickets to showing people to their seats. I know a young lady who was one of our local theater groups. She got a job, and it was not a very exciting job. She got minimum wage, but she, I learned just a few days ago, was promoted. She now has been put in a management position, and she's just absolutely thrilled with the whole thing. She has some background in doing it, and she passed muster as far as what needed to be done. People like her, and bingo, she got promoted. So now she's got a real full-time job. So you never know what's going to lead to your opportunity, and you just need to keep an open mind about opportunity and realize that sometimes it comes in costumes that you would never imagine. So don't be afraid to check it out. Next week, we're going to be talking on Monday with Josie Ravenwing. This is a woman who frequently goes to Brazil. She's been taking people down to Brazil to meet a very special man, John of God. He is a healer. People from around the world go to see him. I think you're going to find it a very, very interesting interview. And then we'll be talking with Terry Jones Brady about a mosaic heart. We also are going to be discussing asthma and various medications and how it affects children with Lou Paradise. And we are then going to be having Rethinking Depression, Eric Meisel. And then on Friday, we'll have a Best of Donna, because I'm going to be speaking at doing a forum at the Northwest Women's Show. So we'll have a good show for you on that Friday. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is very important for you to realize that you have the opportunity to expand your world in the best way you possibly could by being open to learning and education. Don't be afraid to put your mental big toe into areas of subject matter that you had maybe had an interest in but thought maybe was frivolous or silly, or maybe it's too difficult for you or beyond what you think you should perhaps put time into. Don't be afraid to try new things. Have a wonderful weekend wherever you are. Be happy and let your light shine so that other people will realize how rich their life can be as well. Donna Sebo here. We'll be talking with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.